The poor wife, I wanted to be a Moses, and Lord made me a Moses. If not in humbleness and speech, I really appreciate your effort to understand me. And I would like to look at the benefit of that, because you will really become the wisest church in St. Louis. Today we'll continue to talk about the purpose of the church, but this time we'll focus on the practical implementation of the goal of evangelism. And for this reason, we'll move in time of 2,000 years, and we'll see what happened after the Holy Spirit came on this earth in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And since we are also 1 week after the day of Pentecost, we'll see what happened in Cornerstone this week. So the message will be divided in two parts. 2,000 years ago, and it will be based on the context of the first four chapters from the book of Acts, and in nowadays, or today, based on the Romans 10. You do remember from the last Sunday, that group of people from the chapter 1 of book of Acts was totally changed in chapter 2 of the same book. Once they received the power of the witness, God just made that group totally different. And from the stage of waiting, they moved to the stage of acting. And they got those six goals. First is worship, their way of worship, their form of worship changed. They became actually true worshippers. Second, they started to evangelize. They went out from their upper room. They went out on the streets and the market places, and they started to evangelize people. And even when they were threatened with the loss of their life, they were saying that, judge for yourself whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, that we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After receiving the Holy Spirit, their fellowship changed. They had a great fellowship in the temple and in the houses. After that day, they also got involved in apostles' teaching. So they got involved in a systematical process of discipleship. And that made them to refocus from their needs to the needs of others. They started to go to different places to so that's the mission. Actually, thank you. The discipleship, the systematical Bible study is the foundation of the mission, because once you understand a great commitment, you'll not stay at one place. You'd like to bring that word everywhere. So, and we saw Philip going to Samaria, to the restricted area. We saw Peter going to Romans, to the Romans. And after that, you see Paul going to the edge of the Roman Empire. Also, we see that because they were serving the community, because they were fulfilling their needs, they were enjoying the favor of the people. The day of Pentecost was designed long before. God made this day. And he demanded for every godly man to come at least three times through a year to worship in Jerusalem. So in this day, you have a lot of people, at least 17 nations were present there, and they were all together, and God made possible in one day the news of the baptizing with the Holy Spirit to be spread all over. How he made it? The Jews were in Jerusalem, and you know about their communication skills. And they went back to their country, And they saw such a miracle, and you do understand that not every day such miracles happen. And what do you think they were saying, going back to their country? They were telling to everybody what happened in Jerusalem. But this celebration is still authentic nowadays, because God all the time had people, faithful people, who didn't cease to spread the God's word. So everything changed. And let us now focus on what happened in that day in Jerusalem. We found in 2:4 that all of them, Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they started immediately to witness. And usually when you read this passage, sometimes our attention is catch up by the tongue and not by the message. So this time, we will look at the message. Yes, tongues were a necessity that day, because in one day you have many nations, and God, let's call that God's technology for simultaneous translation to the at least 17 groups. But let's now focus on the message. And you will see in chapter 2 that what Peter did, he just took the scripture from the Old Testament and made a whole message, and that message was all about Christ. So actually he used the Old Testament. And you will see that the apostles, all of them used the, with excellence the Old Testament. What I'm saying, and if you have a New American Standard where the Old Testament used in New Testament is capitalized, you can see how much of the scripture Peter used to convince people. And as a result, 3,000 were added to their number that day. We know that God, the faith comes from hearing of God's word. I can use my words to convince you, to motivate you, but I can't really change anyone. Because my words, the power of my words are limited. Let's say I'm not a preacher, and I will tell you a story. And that story will really touch you so deeply that you even start to weep. But in the end I will say, I made it up. That's not true. So you can see that the human words can touch the emotional level, even false words. But never a human word can change a person, because the only word which has a transforming power in it is God's word. And that's why apostles, they use God's word, not their opinion. And we know that God's word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And also the Lord said in Isaiah 55 that God's word, and you heard this morning, that it's living, and living water, it's a rain. And for the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So will be my word, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. That's God's word. And that's why we have to witness to others using this very God's word. If you analyze your testimony or your message which you use for witnessing others. And you'll find 90% of your word and only 10% of God's word. You definitely have to change the percentage. And for this reason, we'll have a meeting on June 14th. We'll have a meeting. It's a green paper. It means that you'll get a green to grow and to witness. So, and we'll study how to witness using God's word, not mine. And because that will really convince people. In order to compare that week in Jerusalem with this week in Cornerstone, let's see what God's part and what the human part in everything happened, everything that happened there. So I will read different verses from Book of Acts to understand what's human part. And from 4:2, the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. 2:41-42, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 2:47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. 4:42, all the believers were one heart and one mind, unity. Acts 4:34, there were no needy person among them, because they shared everything they had. So when you look at the apostles or a disciples' part, you'll find that they were proclaiming Christ first. Second, baptizing those who were coming to Christ. Third, they were continue to teach them, because once you have a person who is baptized, it's the beginning. You have to teach him how to obey the Lord. Fourth, they were having fellowship. And in breaking the bread and in prayer, but also they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were living in unity, in one heart and mind, and no needy person among them, because they were sharing everything. That's human part. Let's hear the God part. You'll find repeated over and over the phrase that God or Lord added to their number daily. So we have to clarify one important thing this morning. God says, God convinced people. He doesn't expect from us to bring anyone to Christ. That's God's spirit job. Everything that is needed for us is just to bring forth God's word and to pray that in right and proper time God will convict that person, because sometimes we try to bring people in and we are working hard and we finally bring somebody and we have problem from that somebody, because if God will not convince, God will not change, that person will not be a blessing for our church. So, again, don't take God's job. That's his job. The only thing that we really need is to bring God's word, to pray, with the hope that God will convince him. So, God could do even this part, but he has chosen us to be a partner in the most amazing ministry of salvation of the humanity. That's why he left on us this small part. But let's look what was specific about their message in that time. And now I would like you to turn to chapter 4 and look to the verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men have been with Jesus. And now look to the verse 29, the same chapter, to 31. Now, Lord, consider their threat and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were, where meeting was shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Observe the church, formed from new believers, what they asked from God. So, they came to Christ just several days ago. They did not ask for more knowledge. They did not ask for anything else than boldness. Actually, that's what our church should ask today. We don't lack knowledge to witness Christ. And we see here, we see their newborn believers. They just went out and they started to speak. When? In the very minute when they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we really lack in nowadays, and we should really ask from God, Lord, give me that courage. Give me that boldness to go out and without any fear, just to spread your word. What stops us for doing that? Let's now look to today. What is happening today? Joel's prophecy is still active. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But Paul is asking, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Today we have totally the same power as the apostles had in the day of Pentecost. We can't really expect that God will do the same nowadays as he has done in that time. We can't expect that in Webster Grove, in 1 week, 8,000 people will come to know Christ. Why? Because that's God's business. He's working differently from nation to nation, from century to century. We can't demand that from God. But we definitely can demand from ourselves to do the same. Because we have the same power. And who stops us? Who stops us to spread His word with the same zeal, with the same boldness, with the same desire? And let's look now what is happening with us. The same week as 2,000 years ago. To how many have I witnessed this week? Because we got the same power. Nothing changed. The results are God's. They are different. But what is the same message. Is the same power, and is the same need to spread this word with boldness. I have a disciple. Her name is Shirinai. She's a Tajik woman, a Muslim convert. And she came to Moscow to study, and one day, walking on the Red Square, her attention was catched up by a message which was coming from a preacher. She got totally wrapped up in that message, and she invited this preacher in her house. Whole day she was listening to the gospel. She forgot about food, about to drink, about everything. She was listening to the message. In the end of the day she said, okay, now I believe. What should I do? And that preacher said, first, you have to repent. Second, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and to obey Him. And third, do the same. Go out and spread the gospel. Next day, on the Red Square, she and I was preaching. People were coming to her with many questions, but she had one answer for everyone. She was saying, what you are asking me is not important at all. What is really important is that Jesus died for you. He rose again. He was lifted up to the heaven, and He will come to judge the world. Are you ready? That's important. She and I was only a believer for only for one day. She didn't wait for more knowledge. She just went to spread the gospel. And you know what? Now, in the heart of Moscow, in the communist school, there is a church. There is a church planted by her. She started, and she never stopped. And you know that the believers in Jerusalem, they did the same. And you are here because someone wasn't fearful and was bold enough to come to you and to tell you the gospel. Romans 10, from 8 to 10, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see, six times is repeated. Your mouth, your heart. Because if you have the Word of God in your heart, you can't really stop Christ telling to everyone about His love. Because Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. How can we be neutral to the large, biggest need of the people to be saved? How we can we stop testifying people about His love? When I came to know Christ, I came to know Christ actually reading the Bible. I didn't have any connection with any churches, and I didn't know what I should do as a Christian. But I got a tremendous joy in my heart. And I just started to tell everyone about Christ. I was in Moscow at the Taekwondo, one year Taekwondo International Tournament. And in that time I didn't know English. But I was using those five, six words I knew to make different phrases about Jesus. People, I don't think that they understood a lot what I was saying. But they understood one thing, that something strange happened to me. They got worried about me. And they were right, because the most strangest thing happened to me. I got that power of witness. And I started to tell people about God's love. I started with my roommate, with my fellow sportsmen, and during the first 2 months, seven of them came to know Christ from Kyrgyzstan, from Russia, from Moldova. And I was using public transportation in that time. I didn't have a Toyota in that time. So, and every time when I was in a bus, I was thinking that maybe God placed me here. Maybe there is a soul here who has to hear about the gospel. And you know that I didn't need to look for that soul. I was just starting the conversation and immediately figure out who is the one who was ready to receive the transforming word. When I came to my church, I understand why the people are coming together. I saw that maybe they are working during the week to convince their neighbors, their friends, and to bring them to the Sunday service and to make them listen, exposed to God's word. And that's why next meeting, next Sunday service, I came with 25 people. And I was coming with a large number of people Sunday after Sunday when the pastor came to me and found out that we are Taekwondo fighters. He got suspicious about us, but after that, when he realized that we are spreading the gospel, he joined us and we went everywhere with Taekwondo exhibition telling people about his love. That's how Lord wants us to tell every time, everywhere, to everyone about his love. So, I will tell you one more story. In front of the church, one priest, every time was meeting a homeless guy, and one day he wanted to rebuke him for such a life, and he started to tell him that he should not live in this way, but he took pity on him after that and told him about Jesus, about how his life could be changed in Jesus and how he could can get freedom in Jesus. But you know what that guy said? He said, that sounds too wonderful, too good to be true, but you don't believe in that, do you? He said, why? Because if I would believe in that, I would not stop telling people about that. I will start with this and I will finish with this. I will go everywhere to tell people about this wonderful, wonderfulness. We have something to invest in people, and that's the gospel. Let's make a conclusion. First, if we have Christ in heart 24/7, he will be on our mouth too. Witnessing Christ, we have to remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very word of God, that Peter said. Everyone needs to today not more knowledge. We are prepared already to spread the gospel. We need more boldness. We need more courage. And one last thing that is very important, Jesus didn't allow to the demon-possessed to witness him. Do you know why? Because the message could be right, but if the messenger is wrong, it's useless. And that's why our message and our life should come together. Let's see how we can allow this morning, this transforming word, to change our heart. And how can we apply this in practice? First, we have a wonderful opportunity on June 10th to personally invite our friends, our neighbors. For this, you can call them, but of course it's better to invite them personally. Pray for them. On Saturday evening, that's June 9th, just remind them. And it will be the best if you will meet them and we'll come together. Second, if you want to know how to witness Christ, how to witness using only God's word, you are invited to evangelist school once a month on June 14th on junior church room. We'll start at 7 o'clock, and we'll learn how to witness using God's word, not our word. And we'll use our word just to make connection between the ancient world and the modern one. And third, the message could be right, but if the messenger is wrong, it's useless. We should allow God's message to transform first us, and after that, he'll transform others. Let's pray for this. Heavenly Father, we know that you are amazing. Jesus, we know that you are never boring. You are you are bringing always excitement. And we will ask this morning to abide in this church and to keep us excited about your good news. And also we are asking for you the courage, the boldness. And as you answered to the church in Jerusalem and you shook that place and everyone went out with that boldness to spread your word, we are asking to shake our hearts this morning and make us totally the same. We are coming before you to change our life first. We would like to let the transforming word to work with us first. And we know about the outreach on June 10th. Give us wisdom and boldness to invite as many as possible and also to direct them to come with them to that outreach event. Give also power of your spirit to the world which is going to be praised by peace. And also we are asking to bring the whole church to that meeting on June 14th. We are asking in Jesus' name. Amen.